everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a quick shot of romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello, Becky.
It has been a solid minute since you've done a quick shot.
Yes. And probably people should know why. I am actually a hockey mom.
The name is not just a name on our social media.
Not just for fun. And it is busy. Like, it's busy. And I'm a teacher. And that's also another busy, like, hobby.
Well, and 2024 has been chaotic for you and your family. And so, you know,
we've had a lot going on.
Yeah. And with the podcast, we're always like family first. You know, we'll figure it out. We figure it out. So luckily for us, Amanda, for really all of us, Amanda has picked it up and taken it.
Thank God. So you'll be sick of me by the summer because, you know, that's where my time shines because I am less busy, right?
But. Yeah. So on this episode of A Quick Shot of Romance, we are reviewing If I Hate You by Helena Hunting. This is book one in the Toronto Terrors series. We'll link the synopsis of this book on our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. I'm going to give the breakdown, and then I'm going to give a little insight before we get into the review. Release date is March 7th of 2024. This is a hockey sports romance, close proximity, siblings, best friend, roommates, and enemies to lovers. This is true enemies. Like, she hates him.
And he, like, pretty much despises her.
Yeah. There is no love between these two. And they are childhood nemesis.
Well, I think how it starts, I mean, like, her brother is his best friend. And so they, like, grew up together. And she had a really big crush on him. And he was kind of a dick to her. And, like, you figure it, like, it comes out why. They really don't like each other. It's like that love.
But hate to, like, love. It goes very quickly from hate to love. There isn't a slow transition.
They, like, hate fuck.
Yeah, they do hate fuck. Absolutely, they do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the series is The Toronto Terrors. This is a standalone series. There will be a book two, and I'm going to assume book two is her brother, his best friend and teammate. No, it's not.
It's not. Okay. There is, I feel like this series, and I could be completely wrong, I know nothing, but I feel like this is really going to be focused around the team, but there's, like, a girl gang that is started, and it's another one of the girls,
and one of his teammates.
Yeah, her dad actually plays for the team.
Okay.
And she is gonna fall in love with one of the players.
Interesting. This is a dual first person. Put out percentage was 24%. Audio narrators in this audiobook were Connor Crace and CJ Bloom. I did do the audio. There's a caveat to that, but I did do the audio. Connor Crace did a great job. CJ Bloom, her tempo and pacing of reading, I found myself pushing her chapters to, like, 1.7.
Oh.
And then dropping down to 1. I'm usually a 1.2 person for listening. So I would drop back down to 1.2 for Connor, but then CJ, I was pushing up to 1.7. Her tempo, her pacing, I was not connecting with.
Okay. I actually have the audio. I have not started it.
Well, and you read the ebook, so there is some discrepancies.
Oh.
For people that are listening to this. So the ebook, so you have to understand audio production. A manuscript has to be turned in fairly early to the audio production company for you to have a simultaneous ebook audiobook release, which is what this release had. Audiobook and ebook came out on the same day.
Yep.
In the ebook, she cut a bunch of the spicy sex scenes.
There were more in the audiobook?
There are more in the audiobook. There are four more in the audiobook than there are in the ebook because feedback from her betas and feedback from her editor is that it was too spicy and it needed scaled back. So she couldn't do that to the audio because production had already happened. She'd approved the final cut. It would have cost her more money. So if you choose to do the audiobook, please note, it is way spicier, way more sexy times than there is in the ebook. They are not synced to read.
Oh, I did not know that.
So
makes me want to listen to the audio more.
Right? So I cannot answer this question because I have to be honest with the listeners. I DNF'd this book at 46%. There were a lot of things that happened for me in this book, and we'll get into this when we talk about it. I couldn't get past a couple of things. And we'll talk about that. So I don't know. Is there a third act breakup?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
My understanding is... I know that there is a grovel, and it was mentioned by Jenny that that was not sufficient enough.
Right.
She felt very strongly that I had to mention that.
She did. To be fair, okay, I really liked this book. I think that Tristan is an asshole. And I think the reason he is he's very guarded, and there are reasons that he's guarded. And I think that he really starts to maybe break down his guardedness, probably more towards the end. And I can see where people don't think he redeemed himself.
Yeah. So I'll be really honest. I am a fan of the Pucked series. They're over the top, they're shenanigans, but it is not my favorite from Helena. My favorite from Helena in hockey is her All In series, The Lie for a Lie, A Favor for a Favor. I love those books. Love them.
Yeah, this is very different from the All In series. I feel like it mirrors a little bit more the Puck series.
And I struggled with Tristan and with Rix, both with the two of them. They were very immature. And I feel like the characters, so he's 27, she's 22, but they read like 19-year-olds in college with mommy and daddy's credit card.
Yeah, I think while he is older, I think his experience has not allowed him, he's matured in a different way than like you do in college. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, and I understand that. And he's had money thrown at him and women at him. Yeah. And I just really struggled to connect with them because they were so immature. And really, to be honest, that opening scene where Rix is in. So the setup of the book is that she walks in on her roommates having sexy times in the middle of the family room of their shared apartment. And he's talking about swinging his dick and hitting her in the face. Like, it's just wild.
Yes.
And she can't stand it, so she exits stage left.
Yes. This felt like it was more, and like it comes out, like this was not the first time that this had occurred. It was sort of like her breaking point. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it felt like her breaking point. And I understood her leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes to her brother's condo that he shares with Tristan.
Correct.
And it is, and I understand, I have a son, I'm married to a man, but this condo was dirty. Like, these are professional hockey players. They cannot engage a cleaning service. Like, this place was gross. There is a section where she is talking about laying on the futon, hiding.
Which I always thought that was weird. Like, they're professional hockey players. They don't probably need a futon. They probably can afford a couch.
Well, again, there was this, it felt like college, like a little immature. Like, I honestly believe her characters that she writes as H Hunting are more mature than Rix and Tristan. Lavender,
yeah, it did read
Cody
a lot like
are so college. Much more mature.
Yeah, and her brother Rix, I can't remember his name now.
I can't remember his name either, but so there's something kind of gross. I can't, and I know it didn't bother you, but her brother goes into all these details about a
Oh.
threesome that he and Tristan had. And they talk about their dicks touching. And I'm just like, huh. I just can't believe that didn't bother more people, that she was just kind of okay that her brother and her boyfriend did things.
I think it did bug her, didn't I?
It
Can't.
really didn't, because she didn't really do much about it. And then it goes forward to the cucumber scene, which was
That
gross.
was not my favorite.
It was
I will be
gross.
honest.
It was gross.
I don't need food involved in that. That wasn't my favorite, but I will say the threesome that did bug her because it came back up.
Yeah.
And she like kind of hardlined that. And then it bugged him also. And he kind of says to Rix's brother, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, why would you talk about that? Like, for real?
Yeah, and I mean, it absolutely was the brother trying to sabotage the relationship and be like, hey, he's a playboy, but I'm all for a reformed playboy. And I don't think that it would have bugged me as much if it had just been, did you know he had a threesome? It was in a hotel and this happened and this happened. The fact that the brother was in it and sharing it with his sister, these are things brothers don't share with their sisters.
Did you get to the spot where, so you got to the spot where the brother found out what happened, what was going
Yes.
on with them, right?
Yeah.
And he handled that, I would say, out of all of the brother best friends, the brother walking in on the sister, he handled it probably the worst of anyone that I've read.
Yeah, it was fairly over the top. I've read some worse ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't understand that. I don't understand how an author writes a character that the brother has such an over-the-top response when their best friend is with their sibling. Like, I don't.
Like, he's your best friend, so he shouldn't be that bad a guy. Like, you should be like, okay,
Right.
cool. Like, now we're kind of like family. And
My
yeah, I.
brother, and see, my brother married my best friend. And it was shocking, yes, but I was happy for them. And they divorced, and we were not friends, and we were not as friendly once they got married. But it was never like I was going to throw myself down the stairs and have like a crazy fit that my best friend, seduced my brother, because I'm going to be honest, that's what happened. But I'm just saying, like, I don't.
I thought that was really over the top. And she like calls him on that too, like Rick's did. She's like, what the, like, again, like, sort of like, what the hell is wrong with you? I feel like she was more mature. I think Tristan has a lot of trust issues, and this comes out more towards the end when he really kind of opens up to her about what happened. I mean, his mom basically abandoned his family.
Yeah, I just
And
wish we
so,
had gotten those pieces
a little
earlier
sooner.
on. Like, if the character had been built up, and seen a little bit more internal argument with himself, like, I like her, I want to be with her, but like, he kind of was holding himself back, but like, there was internal monologue sharing those things. I feel like that might have been a little more easier for me to hold on to.
He did not, I don't think he understood that that was what he was doing. There's a really great scene where like the team sort of kind of comes together and has like basically a come to Jesus with him and Rick's brother. But also, and then the brother kind of calls him out like, your mom effed you up. Your mom leaving totally effed you up. And all the guys are like, oh yeah, that for sure. She for sure did. And he was like, what do you mean? And they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, you have some serious abandonment issues, and you are really afraid that someone is going to just leave you,
Yeah.
and you don't trust people.
I just wish we had had some of that a little sooner.
It did
Just
take him a while.
yeah,
He was a little slow on the uptake.
and this was a chunky book This was not a little book. The audiobook was over 10 hours. And so for me, at 46%, I was getting angry as I was listening. And it could have been a little bit. And could I have switched over to the ebook? I could have. But I knew they weren't going to line up. And then it was, I was just, so I was annoyed because of the audiobook, because I just was not connecting with CJ Bloom. But also then, like, at 46%, I didn't love anybody. Like, and everyone keeps telling me, oh, but I really liked her Puck. You must not have read Pucked. I've read all the Pucks, and I've read all the novellas of the Pucked. I loved them. But I liked Violet and her chaos. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, out of the three main characters that we're getting so far in this book, none of them were like screaming at me, like, stick around, we're great.
I liked both of them. And I actually really liked Tristan. But I do like an asshole.
Right. I love an asshole.
I think he is emotionally stinted, maybe. That's my red flag. I like emotionally stinted, apparently. And I think he really was learning to grow. Does that make sense? I think
it does. Realized... It just didn't fit with the age group. Like, I feel like if his age had been a little younger, I might have, like, had he been only 24 or had he only been 25, I feel like I could have given a little more grace. But at 27, like, you're a grown-ass adult now. You can't even be on your parents' insurance anymore.
Yeah, I understand that. Like I said, I liked him. No. I liked her. I really think that it was a great introduction to the new series. Like, it really.
And I am intrigued. I will go back and read. I will read the next book in the series. Like, I'm not saying Helena and I are breaking up. This is an end-all, the end-all for me. I'm not saying that at all. But part of the reason that I decided for us to go ahead and do this quick shot is you and I both loved Puck. We loved that series. We both loved the All-In series. We both loved the H. Hunting stuff. Like, we're fans. We've read her Hotel series that's, you know, shaping up, and that one.
We really love ourselves some Helena Hunt.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so part of the reason of doing this quick shot is I just want to show to readers that even though you don't connect with one book, it doesn't write off everything else that you loved by that author. And it doesn't mean you aren't going to go back.
Right. It doesn't mean that series isn't going to bring us something great. Because I think I feel like this group is much more diverse in characters and like their names even, like, and their professions. I'm like, yes, like she's bringing some diversity into the group. And I love that. She's got an age gap coming, which I don't know. She's maybe done it once, maybe twice. I'm feeling like the dad, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that she's ever done it, cover. Dad.
Yeah, the pink cover on the All In series, the last one.
Oh, A Kiss for a Kiss. But there wasn't an age gap in that one.
They're not an age gap?
No, because she's older, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so I don't know if she's ever done that. So I'm excited.
I mean, I guess that might be an age gap, but she was a more mature heroine anyway.
King's mom, like biological mom.
That she had him at 18. I think
these two definitely, Rick's and Tristan, had to really fight not only themselves, like they had to really work for their HEA. And I think Rick's kind of stuck it to him, not stuck it to him, but was like, listen, you need to get your shit together. Like, you're a hot mess and you need to kind of work on yourself a little bit. And he kind of, it was like a wake up call for him. Yeah. Like, holy crap, I need to get it together. And even his friends are like, dude,
get it
like,
together.
You're a really great hockey player, but you're an emotional wreck. His family even is like, this really messed you up. So.
I think there's a lot to the book. I just, at this time, couldn't power through it. I just had to
be done. It wasn't for you.
It was not for me. Not every book is for everybody.
No, it's not.
Do you have a book you think we should review for a quick shot of romance? Send us an email to thebees@bookcaseandcoffee.com. Heather, thank you so much for hanging out and joining me to talk about If I Hate You by Helena Hunting.
If You Hate Me.
Oh, If You Hate Me. I wrote it as If You Hate You, If I Hate You.
Oh.
I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, until next time, everyone. Happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.